I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Goss?
Here.
Commissioner Russom is absent. Commissioner George?
Here.
And Commissioner Burrow?
Here. Okay, so we'll move on to the flag. Agenda review. Does anyone on the commission see a reason to revise the order of agenda items? No? Okay, and we'll proceed as follows. We come to community comments and suggestions. This is a time where members of the community are welcome to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on the agenda tonight.
So this page. I live at 606 Middle Street in Arroyo Grande, a resident here for 20 years. I'm here to establish a record with the Planning Commission regarding the July 8th incident where a pre-app was presented to the council. When I saw that on TV, I objected strongly to it. And I objected strongly for two reasons. It was my belief that it was not presented to the Planning Commission before. That, well, in reading what the council had to say, they were prejudicing the project from the point of vista density and from the point of view of the roads being specified for it, at Cherry Lane and Traffic Way, okay? So I objected, and I felt very strongly about it. So I decided to pull papers and run for mayor, and I did that on July 17th. I talked to Steve Adams about it, and I was very serious about pursuing it. However, later, I had a chance to talk to the mayor, and he assured me that this project, when it comes before you, you will have the opportunity to discipline it the way you should. Now, I am mindful of that. The mayor also spoke that night about the impositions of state legislature on housing densities, workplace housing and so on. And I understand that's part of your agenda tonight to discuss that, okay? Came you. We respect your service to the community. We certainly respect the work of Teresa McClish and what she's done for the council and for the citizens of the city. And I am just establishing a record in two forms. This is the email I sent to the city council, and here's my report to the press about that, okay, that I decided not to run based upon the assurances. This will be fairly heard. I thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. And is there anyone else who would like to address the commission? No? Okay, then we will close the is that correct?
This evening.
Okay, thank you. So then we'll go to the consent agenda. This brings up the approval of minutes. We have a small group tonight, so I think that we'll have to postpone the approval of the minutes for June 17th and July 1st until we have a quorum that can address those. But we can go ahead, I think, with the minutes from Tuesday, August 19th. That is correct. Okay, are there any comments from the commissioners on the minutes?
I have none.
Okay, I don't have any either, so I guess we can go ahead and
Commissioner Goss?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Okay, and that brings us to item 8, public hearings. The first item up is consideration of tentative parcel map case number 14-002, subdivision of one 2.68-acre parcel into two parcels of 1.65 acres and 1.03 acres. Location, 101 Ridgeway, Ridgeview Way. Applicant, Paula Retsima.
So this is an application to subdivide a 2.68-acre parcel into two parcels, one of 1.65 acres and 1.03 acres, and the property is located in the Rural Residential Zoning District. So just to orient ourselves, the subject property is outlined in this slide in yellow. It's the largest significant property between Tally Ho Road and White Court, and the last piece of property on that street to be subdivided. We'll take a look at the applicant's proposal. Residence, it's about 1,950 square feet currently. Parcel two, there are no current plans to develop it by the current owner at this time. They're simply requesting to subdivide that off and sell it to somebody else for subdivision. Part of the project will also include this fire department turnaround to improve firefighting service to the existing residents, as well as aligning the flag portion of the property with the existing driveway. With regard to circulation, the right of there is an existing AC berm in place that's acting as the curb. Curb gutter and sidewalk improvements will be required at the time of building permit for parcel two. And we've conditioned the project to place a note of this on the final map so that all future property owners will know ahead of time that curb gutter and sidewalk will be required. With regard to other improvements, parcel one is being required to connect to the city sewer and relocate the existing water line. The existing sewer for that property is actually a septic tank, and the existing water line, when the final map is recorded, will to be stubbed out from the mains to the property itself. However, in light of the fact that the applicants are not developing the parcel and plan to sell it off, staff has added a condition that in lieu of doing all of these improvements now, they may bond for the improvements and do them prior to completing the final map or shortly thereafter. One thing to note is with regard to the equestrian trail, there's an existing, the applicant's proposing a 10-foot wide pedestrian easement on the by 4 feet to a total of 14 feet, as well as provide for equestrian riding access on that portion. And this does match the existing easements in place from the parcel map AG87240, as well as tentative parcel map 11-002. So this would align essentially from Tally Ho all the way up Ridgeview, around White Court, back around, continuing up Ridgeview, equestrian easement 14 feet wide. It is consistent with the general plan circulation element. Going to be right there. Why do you need the additional pedestrian access? It's being required for the ADA sidewalk extension. While now when driveways are improved, there's a requirement for an ADA extension around the backside so that wheelchairs can maneuver and don't have to dip down into the actual drive ramp itself. And the part of the reason that it's being required along this whole swath is because again, the parcel is not being developed at this time, so we don't know where that driveway is going to be. And so it's just going to run along the entire the entire northeastern property line. However, again, it's not with regard to the staff advisory committee, they did review the project on August 13th. Members of the SAC were in support of the project with the conditions of approval that are included in the attached resolution. Staff also reviewed the project in compliance with CEQA and determined that it's categorically exempt per section 15.315 of the CEQA guidelines as is regarding minor lane divisions. And with regard to public notice, a notice of public hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site, published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall, and on the city's website. August 29th, and at this point, staff has not received any comments on the project. And that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Tom, do you have any questions for staff?
Thank you. Going through the conditions in the resolution, condition 12, an alternative to providing a fire department turnaround or hammerhead on parcel 1, applicant may explore option of providing a connection to the driveway of property what's on the other side, because you really can't clearly see.
In reality, there would be some additional paving that would be required to go to line up with an adjacent property's driveway. Mm-hmm. They are pretty close, so it is a potential. However, after discussing that condition with the property owner, it appears that they're going more for the fire department hammerhead than the push-through connection.
Because that would involve easements, permissions,
correct,
and everything else.
Yeah. And that's why it was worded in such a way to just be kind of more at the option to the property owner if they didn't want to provide a full fire department turnaround on their property.
Okay. Shall be expanded to 14 feet, includes language indicated easement of the equestrian trail and pedestrian conveyance, and shall not be fenced to prohibit these uses. Okay, if I remember, the fence is on the property line right now. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. The water, sewer, sidewalk, and curb can be bonded, but the wording on this sounds like that has to be taken care of right away, which also includes the grading, because that's a pretty steep slope. The road was cut out from the hill right there, but there's a pretty steep slope, so that would have to come down and match for sidewalk, curb, and such. So it sounds like there's a lot of improvement that has to be done upon recording this.
So there wouldn't be required at the time of recordation. Again, the curb gutter and sidewalk would be required when whomever owns parcel 2 pulls a building permit for parcel 2 to build a home.
Right, but the fence, there's no point in moving a fence now and then having to move it another time once it gets graded.
Yeah. The condition was worded. There's a neighboring property that has a 14-foot equestrian trail on it that has a fence that's blocking access to it. So it was worded in such a way to prevent that from happening in the future. I can see your point that it kind of alludes to the fact that it should be done upon recordation, and I'd be happy to see if we can modify that to
just like say at time of permit of permitting or something like that. At time of sidewalk installation?
Well, the improvements, the fence can't prohibit the use. The use hadn't been established until the improvements are made. So I'm comfortable with the wording as is, but if the commission wants to clarify it further, that's fine.
Well, I would just hate to see them get into a bind unnecessarily.
Yeah, and that definitely was not the intent of the wording of that condition.
Those are really the only two questions I have. Thank you.
Ron, do you have some questions?
I did. Let's see. I had two concerns. My first concern was the water issue. So with the parcel being split, we're going to need the parcel two to have their own water hookup. And being as we're in a drought, does the city have a moratorium on new water hookups?
Not at this time, no. In fact, when the current general plan was done and designated this property in such a way that it could add an additional dwelling unit, the water source was studied at that time, and there is adequate water to support an additional residence, an additional connection.
At the time of the initial study?
Correct, at the time of the general plan.
Okay. And then my second question is that parcel two, the slope, 18.66% slope, when it goes to be developed in the future, mm-hmm. is that going to cause any type of a Is it going to cause any type of infraction on the neighboring parcel next to it? Because it's either going to need to be filled in, right? So that property is going to be much higher, or else it's going to need to be graded. So is that something that we need to establish now beforehand?
No, all of those have all of those standards are required as part of standard engineering best management practices, as well as state water quality control issues. And there will be adequate erosion control measures during construction, as well as water infiltration requirements, again, per state requirements. And so all of that is addressed essentially either through the municipal code, through the grading ordinance, and other areas of the municipal code. So it's not necessarily necessary to include it in conditions at this time.
All right. So it's not a concern for development in the future then?
No. Okay. The municipal code does require that sites with certain slopes be enlarged to certain degrees. The current proposal actually meets that in excess, even with the 18% average slope. So staff looked at that. It's not a concern at this time.
Okay. Those are my questions.
I just noticed a mistake on page 3 of the resolution. It says second day of August 2014, and that should be September. So I just think that should be changed before it.
It should, yes.
Yeah, that was my only question at this time. So then at this point, we'll open it up to the applicant, if the applicant would like to come forward and address the commission.
Hi, I'm Paula, and this is Brendan Reitzma, and we purchased the property. We love it. We've been living here for several years, and we're here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Tom, do you have any questions for the
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And then I'll open it up to the general public. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak on this issue? No? Okay. Seeing none, then I'll bring it back to the commission. So, Tom, do you have any other questions? Are you ready to
No questions.
Discuss? Okay.
It's kind of interesting that this item came up on the same agenda as the housing element, because one of the things that we're really trying to do is to make available more available lots for our housing. So seemed very appropriate. I'm all for this. As I mentioned when I was asking Matt questions, is that I would hate to see them get into some sort of problem with that fencing until it's actually improved. So, you know, I would like to see just a slight change in it, saying something to the effect of, and shall not be fenced to prohibit these uses once curb, gutter, and sidewalk are installed. If that's possible, then, you know, I think that would be a great thing just to clarify it. Other than that, I'm ready to move forward on it.
Okay. Lon, do you have any other questions?
I do not.
Are you ready to move forward?
Okay, I also am ready to move forward. I agree with Tom. It is interesting. We're looking at ways to find more housing within the city, so it seems to be a good time, and the lot seems like a good size to be split and developed. So,
if someone wants to craft a motion. Tom, you seem to have the additional language. So.
Well, as long as staff feels okay with that language. Okay. Okay, I'd like to move that we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving tentative parcel map number 14-002 located at 101 Ridgeview Way, applied for by Paula, I'm sorry, Reitzma. Okay, thank you. With the following change, that condition number 15 at the end, remove the period and put once curb, gutter, and sidewalk are installed, period.
Second. So roll call, please. Commissioner Goss?
Yes.
Commissioner Farrow?
Yes.
And Commissioner George?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations. We'll move forward now to item 8B, which is the public workshop to review and comment on the draft housing element update. General Plan Amendment Number 14-002, location citywide, applicant the City of Arroyo Grande. So I'll go ahead and give Kelly a moment to get her things organized, and we'll.
Okay, thank you, Chair Spiro and members of the Commission. The purpose of this workshop is to allow the Planning Commission to review and receive public comment on the draft housing element update and provide any comments then to the City Council. Because the previous housing element was recently completed at the end of last year, there have not been any significant changes to the programs or policies. As background, since some of you are new, the housing element is one of seven required elements of the general plan that provides a strategy for meeting housing needs of various income levels within the city. The State Department of Housing and Community Development, which we call just HCD, is responsible for reviewing and certifying the element. More specifically, the purpose of the housing element is to increase the supply of housing that is equitable for families of all income categories, with emphasis on infill development. On a regional level, the purpose of the housing element is to provide greater opportunities for residents to just live closer to work. The housing element contains information about the needs assessment, which boils down to the city's fair share of the regional housing need, as determined by the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, an analysis of the city's resources to aid housing development, which includes land availability, infrastructure, and financial resources, an analysis of constraints to housing development, which includes those imposed by the city in the form of regulations or other environmental constraints, a review of how well the city implemented the previous housing element update, and finally, the policy program, which really is the core of the document that explains how we intend to meet our goals of providing sufficient housing according to our needs assessment. The document is organized with the goals, policies, and programs near the front, since all of this information is basically our action plan. The remaining chapters provide more of the background and supporting information, and that includes demographics, housing characteristics, housing affordability, special housing needs groups, at-risk housing, housing resources, housing constraints, and also review of the previous housing element. So right now, we're currently at the beginning of the housing element review process. Any comments received tonight will be communicated to the City Council, and it is anticipated the Council will consider this document at its September 23rd meeting. Any amendments will be incorporated into the draft and then sent to HCD for review. final review and adoption, it's expected that HCD would then certify our document, but it's a process. It takes time. This slide just shows the Rio Grande's fair share of the anticipated future housing demand. These numbers initially come from HCD for the whole county and are further refined by the Council of Governments based on a formula that considers population, income, employment, and vacancy factors. Each city is required to update their housing elements to accommodate adequate to be built, but rather the housing element must show that the city can accommodate the units. During the last cycle, we were required to accommodate a total of 362 units, and so right now we have an allocation of 242, and that represents about a 33% reduction from last time. Makes it a little bit easier. So as I mentioned, the goals, policies, and programs create the action plan for the housing element. Because most of the goals, policies, and programs from the previous cycle are still considered appropriate, additional information that was necessary. But we also added a few programs and policies. And these include establishing a program to provide assistance to first-time home buyers, monitoring the loss of permanent workforce housing from vacation rentals and homestays, amending the zoning ordinance to encourage farm worker housing, and amending the development code to define transitional and supportive housing as allowable residential uses. Council comments from the previous housing element update. This program previously stated that the city shall amend the development code to allow development of five or more multiple family attached units in the MF and MFA zoning districts with a minor use permit. So it didn't really have a limit. It just said anything above five units, it would just be a minor use permit. So of course, the intent of this program is to remove obstacles to the provision of multifamily housing. Council was concerned about not having any oversight over the design of the city and the development code to allow development of up to 15 multiple family attached units in the MF and MFA zoning districts with a minor use permit subject to design review through the Architectural Review Committee. Development of over 15 units would require a conditional use permit. So that's how we address that particular issue. So in summary, the housing element update provides the necessary conditions for producing and preserving an adequate supply of affordable housing, including special needs housing. It includes strategies that and a commitment to assist in housing development through regulatory concessions and incentives. State law requires jurisdictions to make a diligent effort to involve all economic segments of the community in the housing element update process. The public hearing process provides an opportunity for the public to identify problems and propose solutions to housing issues that are currently facing the city. By submitting the housing element to HCD, the city will be in compliance with the statutory procedure for adoption of an updated housing element. And then the policies identified encourage increased densities for infill sites and therefore could result in parking or other neighborhood issues related to future proposed projects. But although the housing element provides for policies to ensure there are adequate sites for housing, development of housing at maximum densities is not required. And we all know that all these projects are still subject to CEQA. So we always have a chance to be able to review them. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the Planning Commission review
Lon, do you want to go first? Or do you have any questions for staff or comments?
I guess my main concern with this would be the number of low income to very low income is the number is the same as the number above income. So my concern is there a way for us, or is there a policy to establish a ratio? If a developer is going to come in and want to develop 15 new units, do we have a policy in
place? Yes, we do have an inclusionary housing ordinance in place. Some of the policies in here are aimed at kind of shying away from providing moderate income for sale units because we've had big issues with the formula. The formula is such that with the recent recession, the moderate income sales price is actually higher than the market rate price. So we ended up, after all the time and effort of putting these agreements together, for very low and low income, but it's difficult for city staff to manage those. So our emphasis is more on trying to collaborate with nonprofits and use all available resources, such as our in-lieu fees, to then put it towards a really good project that is going to be managed by a nonprofit. So that's going to be our emphasis in the future. So instead of for sale units, they would mostly be rental units, and that's more appropriate for very low and low income housing.
It's just the manner in which they're built. So instead of including in one or two in each project, we would still require that inclusionary number. We would just collect the fee and use that and leverage it with through a nonprofit generally.
I guess my concern is I just don't want to create an environment or a community where there is a stigma that this area is all low income and this area is all high income. So if we have developers coming in and they're I believe that we should have some sort of percentage of whatever they're developing above a certain amount. Obviously, if a developer's just coming in building one or two, but if they're developing a whole tract, that we should be able to, not the moderate, I'm talking about low to very low, to be able to include a certain amount of those in there as well. Mm-hmm. So that's my only comment.
Tom, do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, I got just a couple here. By the way, Kelly, sorry I caught you off guard on a couple of these items this morning. Page 19, page 20, item B6 and B6-1. Okay, as I understand it, this wording is basically making sure that we do not remove or we monitor housing which no longer becomes available because of vacation rentals and homestays.
That's correct.
Okay. The only concern I have is the definition of a homestay is owner-occupied. So
I think in general we're trying to get at this new regulation that we just adopted and trying to monitor what's going on in our community. You bring up a good point. Maybe it could just be for vacation rentals, not the homestays.
That's what I was thinking. Is this will be my one of my comments is that perhaps homestays should be exempt from that.
Okay.
Because they are owner occupied, and for a lot of these people, they've got enough stuff to worry about running a homestay without also another monitor. And then I just wanted to double check about the map on page 86. I know when I asked you, you believed that the green colored ones, which made reference to a table which it does not belong, are ones that are in progress. Is that correct?
Yeah, the green actually is, it represents approved projects. So that table, it's not included and it needs to be. So that was, for some reason, it was omitted.
Okay.
So we'll just need to
I just wanted to double check on that since I knew you had time after we had talked. Yeah. Weren't immediately able to answer was that table 6.1 on page 121.
Oh, yeah. That should just be that the numbers are wrong. It should be 2007, 2014.
Okay. So yeah. That should be.
In both places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Okay, and things in the 2007-2014 RENA roughly the Cortland housing project over by Berry Gardens roughly how much of that was very low and moderate?
Well, we combined them. All 36 units are considered low and very low.
Okay. So did you just split the number, kind of like in
half? We combined it. In the previous housing element, we combined
it. Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Get into too much detail, but when you do tax credit projects, they have a different mechanism for defining very low and low than the state does. So it got really confusing trying to figure out, you know, what it was, and we just decided just to lump them both together.
Okay.
And the consultant thought that was a good idea. So.
Okay, great. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Seems like I just looked at this. I think what I know is fairly recent. So I do have some questions, and one of them plays off of something that Commissioner George brought up earlier. We are in the middle of a very severe drought. I don't see anything about water, and I don't. Maybe I missed it. Maybe this isn't the appropriate place. But is there somewhere where we could put a goal, or that would be a thought I have about any new units looking at using water conservation, being more water efficient, something along those lines, just to because
sure.
At least going forward, I think we should let let developers know that this is something we're concerned about. The drought's not a new thing, and I don't think it's going away soon. So that's a suggestion I have, maybe to add another goal somewhere near the energy conservation about water conservation.
Okay.
Are these taken from a state statute or something, the all persons regardless of race, creed, age, or sex? Okay. It seems odd to me to see creed. I think we mean religion or religious affiliation. Also, I know generally when you talk about equal opportunity things, you also include national origin often gets put in there because race isn't necessarily your national origin. So that was a thought I had that maybe we should add that in there. I also, on page 27, We talk about integrating affordable housing projects into existing residential neighborhoods. That word adverse, I mean, I think we should be considering all impacts. And I mean, was adverse being deleted? Or I couldn't tell from the comments, but I don't like just saying adverse because to me it just sounds prejudicial. Like we're saying, you know, there are only going to be adverse impacts. There might be positive impacts as well. And I think all impacts should be considered.
So just instead of adverse, just say all impacts?
Yeah, I would just say all because there might be positive. We might get an I love the first-time home buyer incentive. I think that's a great thing the city's doing. And I agree with both comments from the other two commissioners. I also share the concern we don't want to have certain parts of town designated very low income. I like the idea of mixing them in when possible. And I agree with Commissioner Gause that homestays, I think, should be exempt. They are owner-occupied, so it doesn't seem to fit in there. I was trying to figure out pages 129 to 130, all this information about emergency shelters. I understand that do we currently have any type of homeless shelters or programs within the city?
No, there is a coalition of folks within the five cities area that's trying to get some kind of a shelter in our area. This is state law.
Okay. That's what I just was reading it, and I thought I'm just not, and I know we tried the parking for a while at St. Barnes, but that's not, that didn't work out very well. So I just kept reading this, trying to figure out how this is going to, you know, function in our city and if there's a way to make it better. I mean, I'm glad that
SB2 is the driver on that one.
Okay, so it's just put
serious
in place.
Yeah.
Okay, so those were my comments. I don't know if you guys have any additional. I guess I can open it up to the public as well. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to speak on the housing element? No? Okay, so we'll close the comment period. So it's my understanding you were just looking for comments from us. We're not actually passing a motion tonight.
That is correct. Yeah, we're going to have this public workshop and then essentially the same type of thing with the city council. They'll probably, you know, make it more of a public hearing than a workshop. But and then we start the conversation. You know, and it can. Last time, the back and forth went on for quite a while. We had, it was painful. But I think that because this is so recently adopted from before, that there shouldn't be too many comments, we're hoping. But once we get their comments back integrated into the document, then we do the full-on public hearing with the environmental review and, you know, full-on resolution and all that.
Okay, great. So I think we're done then. Any additional comments? Okay, so I'll close item 8B then. We'll move on to item 8. Decisions since August 19th, 2014. We have one. Does anyone on the Planning Commission have any questions about this item,
yeah.
Tom?
Just curious about being that this was over on 309 Mason, being in the village, it didn't have to go to ARC or anything?
It did go to ARC.
Oh, it did go to ARC. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thank you. That was just it.
Okay, so then we'll move on to item 11, commission communications. Do any of the planning commission
Yes, I wanted to report that on August 21st, the Local Agency Formation Commission, known as LAFCO, acted on an annexation application from the City of Rio Grande regarding the heights at Vista Del Mar. So that's about 50 acres up behind the Vista Del Mar neighborhood behind the Rio Grande High School. So that was currently entitled in the county by the by San Luis Obispo County, the housing development of 22 lots. Is coming in for his final map, their final map, and so we may expect to see that approved in the coming months in terms of the improvements and the bonding required for those improvements and that development taking place.
This is a brand new development.
So
also, is that the annexation with the higher number of lots or the original lower number of lots?
It was originally entitled at 16 lots, and it was approved by the county at 22 lots, and then in the end,
brings us to adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.